because it's obvious those people that are selling this poison, they don't obviously care about us or care about people at all. So why should we care if they do 20 years, other than the fact that we have to pay for it?
I'm Flint Anderson, founder of PAIN, Parents and Addicts in Need. I've been in recovery since 2001, and there isn't much I don't know about recovery. And my mission is to constantly tell the truth about addiction, to make the realities of addiction, recovery, and drug culture known, and to drive awareness and advocate change that ultimately saves lives.
And I'm Jason LaChance, a certified recovery coach with a passion for speaking with others and sharing their knowledge to help others seek recovery and maintain long-term sobriety. And this is the Don't Hide the Scars podcast, presented by PAIN, Parents and Addicts in Need. Welcome to the Don't Hide the Scars podcast. I'm Jason LaChance, and with the founder of PAIN, Flint Anderson. Good day, sir.
Good day to you too, Jason. How you doing, man?
I am well, and more intrigued for us to dig into this. I know you were on ABC 30 as of this recording yesterday evening, and you were talking with Kate there with ABC 30 about Assemblywoman Soria's AB 3171 to hold fentanyl traffickers accountable. It passed Assembly, the Public Safety Committee.
Our favorite people.
Right? Some amazement there.
Some that it actually got passed. You know, what we didn't hear at first was that, you know, Assemblyman Jim Patterson co-signed it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that didn't seem to be public information at first. But I found out through Kate at ABC 30 that Jim did co-sign it. So that's good.
Well, and it makes a lot of sense for those that haven't heard us speak with Jim or talk about the different bills that he's tried to get passed, even come to you and conversed about. I'm glad to see that for him, you know, we kind of debated that, like, oh, that put a little burr in his saddle that he's been trying to get these kind of bills, and maybe because he's a Republican, it hasn't worked. But it's good to see Jim being Jim.
Right.
You know? Setting it all aside and doing the right thing for the right reasons.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, there's nobody better than Jim at that. You know, he's somebody that will work alongside others, no matter what their political party is, in order to get some things done. And he can take a lot of pride in the fact that he's the one that got this ball rolling to begin with. And he's a huge reason for, I believe he's a huge reason for all this.
I would concur. And so we're going to break the bill down a little bit for what people maybe want to know more about this. So AB 3171, it's cracking down on fentanyl drug trafficking by holding dealers accountable for fentanyl overdoses, poisonings, and deaths. That's the writing within this bill. Of course, AB Assembly Bill. The bill increases penalties for individuals trafficking in fentanyl. And I know you discussed with Kate some of the numbers on that. You know, there was in some areas like doubling of the sentencing time, which, I mean, hey, I great. Let's put people away that are for sure. But I don't know, 2 years to 4 years, you know, 3 years to 6 years, 5 years to nine. I mean, I'm still baffled at how the wording hasn't gotten through to classify this as murder.
Well, you and I are in the same boat because I can't figure out why either. You know, it's this is murder. This is, I don't even think it's manslaughter. I think it's murder, mm-hmm. You know, because these drug dealers knowingly are selling a product that they know will kill somebody. Can kill somebody and most likely will kill somebody. And, you know, when you have that knowledge going in, and like I said the other day, you know, 2 to 4 years or 4 to 6 years or even 6 to 10 years, that's the cost of doing business for these people.
Mm.
You know, that they're not afraid of jail. They're not afraid of prison. And so when somebody's not afraid of something like that, then give them something to be afraid about.
Yeah.
You know, give them that 20-year sentence, that 30-year sentence. I don't care anymore, to be honest with you, because it's obvious those people that are selling this poison, they don't obviously care about us or care about people at all. So why should we care if they do 20 years, other than the fact that we have to pay for it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's, you bring up such a valid point. You know, you and I, we're both fans of film and television, and quite often in these shows that deal with the cartels or mafia or whatever it is, there is almost a badge of honor for taking that time. And when these individuals get out, they're praised for it. We're not combating criminals with the same mindset. You know, people always ask me, why are you such a fan of Batman? I'm like, because he got on a criminal level to combat criminals, you know, right, in a fictional world. And I'm sorry, there are times that's exactly what we have to do.
Right. No question. No question about it. This is talk about not a fair playing field, you know. And so the criminals in this case, I mean, they already have the knowledge that very little is going to happen to them, if anything at all. So, and you're right, it is a badge of honor for them. You know, they do a little bit of time, they get out, parties are thrown for them, you know, they're thrown right back into the gang lifestyle, the cartel lifestyle, and off and running they go again. Because again, they can do that. They can do 4 years to 6 years standing on their head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just no big deal to them. Now if you put them in a Mexican prison, that's a different story. You put an American in a Mexican prison, whoa. Okay. I mean 6 months may be too long.
Yeah, yeah. If you survive, right?
Even if you survive, right?
Especially depending upon the connections. Do you have any of the mass still we calculated in this bill? It talks about that these penalties were going to be for 36.5 grams, and we calculated that at 36,500 milligrams roughly. Well, and we also calculated that, you know, they say the potential lethal overdose, or almost a guaranteed, is 2 milligrams. So we're talking about the increased penalty on these dealers is for individuals that have in their possession enough fentanyl and the chemicals to create it to kill about 14,000 plus people.
Correct. Right. So when you do the math like that and you look at the punishment, it doesn't add up.
Mm-mm.
It just doesn't add up. People for whatever reason, they're not understanding. They're not understanding. And how do I put this so people can understand? When officers make an arrest of, let's say, 350,000 pills. I said this the other day in a presentation that I had, and the audience gasped. You know, they went, oh my God. And I said, wait a minute, folks. I said, 350,000 fentanyl pills is nothing. I said, that's less than a drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we are proud of our law enforcement officials for making that arrest and for confiscating those 350,000 pills, because it is going to save somebody's life that day. It may save more than a few, it's going to save more than a few lives. But in the grand scheme of things, 350,000 fentanyl pills are coming over the border times 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number that's come, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 350,000 pills coming in one part of the border. You've got 3 million fentanyl pills coming across the border at another point. So it's not even a wash.
Yeah.
It's not even a wash. Again, it's a losing fight. But when you talk about human life, those 350,000 pills that didn't make it over our border that day are going to save a few lives for a little bit.
Absolutely. And it begs a question to me. I tried to read as much of the bill as I could, but of course, you know, as I do, there's always some interesting language put into every one of these bills,
yeah,
propositions that we always get. And I didn't see anything for consideration of, okay, I get it. So if we're saying, you know, 36 plus grams here. All right. That's good. I wasn't able to calculate roughly how many M30 pills, which they're usually pressed into that shape, that size. But what about the greater excess? I didn't see anything about, like, what if it's double that? What if it's triple that, quadruple that amount?
Right.
Shouldn't we be looking at 20, 30, 40, 50-year sentences here behind this?
Well, you would think so. You would think so. With a reasonable mind, that's where a reasonable mind would go.
Right.
But we're not dealing with reasonable people.
True.
You know, it's again a statement I've made, you've made. You know, why are we waiting till we get to the bottom of the toilet bowl before we do something? This is really a tough situation, you know, and I'll just speak for myself, for me at this point, because we've been waiting for so long for something to happen in Sacramento. And finally, something did happen. Hopefully this bill is going to go through the final stages and get passed. But it's almost like kissing your sister. Okay, I knew you'd get a kick out of that one, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not that bad. Okay, but do you see my point?
Yes.
You know, you're on one hand, I almost want to just jump out and go, yes, finally something, you know, and then all of a sudden, but the rest of me's going, well, wait a minute, it's just not quite enough.
Yeah.
And people are going to go, well, you know what? Okay, maybe it's not enough for now. But why isn't it enough for now? Again, why are we waiting? What are we waiting for? More people to die?
New Perceptions North, the premier drug and alcohol treatment and recovery center in Central California. A full continuum of medically supervised top quality care with programs for detox and patient residential treatment with dual diagnosis, intensive outpatient treatment, sober living support groups, and more. New Perceptions North provides adult men and women with the highest caliber of professional health care, treating each client with compassion and respect. In a safe, comfortable environment to begin the process of recovery, to proudly create and sustain a life without addiction. Call 559-978-1507 or visit newperceptionsnorth.com.
I mean, that's the feeling that when we, you know, decided we were going to talk about this, and as I did more reading, that on one hand, yay, I'm glad there's some movement. That's great. Finally. It's taken way too long, but finally, and yet how is there not recognition that it is not enough,
right?
That this is not enough. Well, I couldn't get through all of it. These bills are incredibly confusing. I'm guessing they have 97 lawyers that work on these. I mean, you've talked to Jim, they're masters with the language. I mean, that Bill
right.
Clinton level dodging the arrows language.
Right.
With it all. But, you know, yes, this is nice. I'm glad that a public health and safety, but where's that additional piece of this? As we've talked about, you know, I don't think they are educated or understanding the powers that be that it is that, you know, the vast majority of people that are dying of fentanyl overdoses are at a fixed address. I was talking to a gentleman today who's close to Philadelphia and musician, you know, decently well off. You know, and he said, by the end of my run, when I was on fentanyl, I'm having to get a hit every hour. He's
right.
Like, I'm hardly awake throughout the day.
Right.
I'm just wake up, get my fix, not out again.
Right.
That this is the impact that is going on. How I just don't get how that is not rolled into a part of this. Like the things that the Salvation Army's doing when we talk to Steve Adami, these greater programs or seeing the overall scope that it has to be a whole here and we're just tackling a minute piece.
Well, look, you know, I agree with you on all of this, right? This is such a minute piece to this. But it just seems to me that Sacramento and all of these politicians, it's like they can't walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, it's okay, let's see if we can tackle this issue, but it's going to take us 5 years to tackle this issue. Then we can move on to another issue instead of trying to solve one problem, I guess, all at once, you know, especially when it's a problem of this magnitude. You know, we're not talking about, you know, the old days of you know, people bringing molasses over the border.
Right.
Right. I mean, we're talking about a deadly, deadly ingredient here, product that is wiping out the United States. And for these people to think that it, oh, you know, okay, you know, it may take us 10 years to do it. 10 years is too late.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. 10 years is too late. I mean, think about that. What's 10 times 100,000?
Yeah.
That's how many people are going to die in 10 years, if not more.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's what when you're saying that I was pondering, like, when do we start getting the data in the next 2-3 years that it's a quarter of a million people, right? The number one killer now.
Right.
Overdose in the United States, in the world.
Right. And remember, we're doing our research yesterday, you know, before that, and you know, they've got things like fluorofentanyl, right? Which is now 10 times stronger than fentanyl. Because this stuff is made in a lab.
Mm-hmm.
We can make it as strong as we want. This is, you know, heroin's only going to reach a certain potency. That's it. Fentanyl, man, we got guys in little white coats making.
Yeah.
They can make it as strong as they want. And trust me, that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's coming as well. So, yeah. You know, I look. Again, I believe that this is a good step. I don't want to take away from the fact that this is a good step. But we need to take bigger steps.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to. I mean, you and I debate how it's going to be, and you know, how do we create a greater social impact upon this to show a better way of being? I mean, we can only scream to the rooftops with someone that we've had on the podcast who's a radical harm reduction person that posted on Twitter something about, well, we just need to have the government step in and make sure it's clean drugs. And I had to hold my anger.
Right.
Because this was in the midst of my insomnia last night. And I just went, I'm going to let this go because there's no changing this way of thinking. And it's unfortunate that is becoming prevalent. It's like, listen to what the F you're saying. Like, you're saying something that doesn't exist.
Right.
There is nothing. Sure. Okay. If somebody wants to get heroin, we might be able to test it and guarantee, okay, this is just pure heroin, but it's still heroin. Yeah. You and I have known people that had a 20-year run with heroin before they got clean. We also know of some families that lost people in the first month that a loved one tried heroin.
Right.
So I just don't get this shit and this rhetoric that continues. That this is what we should do for society. Bullshit. We should find better ways to connect individuals and build a greater sense of community.
Well, and Jason, look. I don't believe that this is what our government wants to do. They talk like they do. These people that you're talking about, they talk like they do, right? I don't know what they're so afraid of.
Mm.
I mean, when we talk about building a better community, giving more knowledge about this, there are some of us out there that do know what works. we most of us know what's not working. And like we always talk about, the people aren't asking us. But I think there's a part of them that really don't want to go down that road for whatever reason. I really do. But how can you not want to build a better community? How do you not want to build a better tomorrow for the generations that are behind us? You know, we always talked about, you know, we always want to do for our kids better than what we had. Well, I think we need to do that for all of us need to do that for the generations behind us. And we're not doing that anymore. We're just kind of leaving that those generations behind us just kind of flounder on their own, because that's what's going to happen. I mean, I don't see even any short-term solutions to this problem. You and I have short-term solutions. You and I have long-term solutions. Again, none of these solutions are guaranteed. People need to realize that. But when we're not even offering somebody the chance for abstinence in their recovery, if they're not offered that, they're never going to take it. They're never going to accept it.
No.
They're going to think that being on a medically assisted drug is the only way to go. That's why we talk about we can't lose the war on recovery.
Yeah.
And that's the fight that you have and that I have and Tim and Dan and, you know, the rest of us that are all kind of in the middle of this thing. We are now the ones that are going to have to fight for recovery.
Yeah.
If we want anybody to succeed at it. But when it's not even being offered, I'm not going to say it's not. It's for the most part, it's not. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's for the most part, it's not. What the hell kind of results do you think we're going to expect here?
If you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, please call PAIN, Parents and Addicts in Need, at 559-579-1551 or visit us online at painnonprofit.org. Follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at PAIN Nonprofit. And please subscribe to the Don't Hide the Scars podcast and share with others wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. And if you would like to donate to PAIN, Parents and Addicts in Need, please click the link in the description to make your tax-deductible donation today and help us save more lives gripped by addiction.
Yeah, if we're giving all the medically assisted treatment in abundance and the supply of actual recovery going through the process and gaining an understanding that you can physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually prosper. And you are valued in this community, in this country, in your families, everything else. Pardon my language, we're f***ed.
Right. 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 And you know, your generation is the one that is really going to be dealing with this mess. I want you to think about that one for a bit.
Oh, no, I see it. I see it.
Because you know what I say. I'm in the fourth quarter. There's a lot of us in the fourth quarter.
There's still 12 minutes left on the clock. Let's not get too much out and do it there.
but you know what I mean. It's and the last thing some of us want to do is we don't want to have to hand over a nightmare to your generation or the generation behind you. You know, that's not our intention. A lot of times I just don't know anymore. But I also know that this is what keeps me going. This is what keeps you going. You know, the good fight is what keeps us in this thing, because we know better. We know different. We know how good life is in abstinence. We know how good life is being in total abstinence and and just how wonderful we have it.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand what is so wrong about passing that on to people.
Yeah, and the thing is, we're asking, give it a try. Give it a try.
Right. And if you don't, and if you can't do it, okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I was in here talking with my partner today. All right. She was saying the same thing. It doesn't even seem like it's even being offered. So what are we expecting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like any other medication, you're pre-diabetic. Let's try to get that down through diet and exercise, or maybe it's obesity or whatever the struggle may be. Let's try this route first.
Right.
Give it a shot first. See what your life is in that abstinence. And,
right.
You know, and then from there, okay. I get it, but let's give it a shot.
At least give it a shot.
Yeah.
But I also believe in giving people a shot, but at a long enough time frame,
mm-hmm.
you know, not 6 months. And especially to the 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old. You know as well as I, and you know how I feel about when I see a 25-year-old on Suboxone or methadone.
Yeah.
Talk about being effed. Okay. There they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And they'll acknowledge it. I had a recently a conversation with a guy that I used to run with, and he was in some rock bands, and then we lost touch. He got clean, you know, literally was partying, doing too much booze and blow, and had the epiphany, not the I get down on your knees and pray at the porcelain God, but in that moment I'm going to die. My heart is pumping out of my chest. Well, now he's a rideshare driver, so like Uber and Lyft and all that, and he does late nights, so he in early mornings, because he takes people to the methadone clinics, and he'll have conversations with them, you know. And he's a man of faith, so you know, if they ask, he'll tell them. He doesn't, you know, throw it on them, but and he'll right. even tell them his story,
right?
And let them know, like, hey, there is some possibilities, or if you ever want to go, you know, I got a meeting you can attend and come sure. with me and. Sure. You know, so it's, but he'll see it that the despair on these people's face has not left.
Right.
He told me, Jason, it's still there.
Sure.
They are still in the state of despair. Matter of fact, most of them are really down. And I know you can relate to this by the fact they still have to go and pick up a drug every day
at 5 a.m. Yep. Yeah. You know, I also want to go back to the bill for a second, because. Yes. I'm curious on why now Assemblywoman Soria addressed this.
Mm.
Where has she been in the past? Is it because it's election time? I don't know. I'm asking the question.
I don't think she's up for election because she just got in office last year.
Okay. Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe it's about. Maybe I don't know. I've reached out to her people, so hopefully she'll be willing to come in and talk with us and explore that and realize, hey, we're just wanting to dig in. We're not calling you out. We're just wanting to dig in and understand better. So I don't know. Hopefully she's seen. I'm pretty sure her district is Visalia, if I remember correctly.
Well, there's parts of Fresno County, and I thought they said Madera County as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm trying to remember if she was on my ballot where I live in Merced County. I can't recollect. I want to say so I don't know, but you know, maybe finally gaining a greater understanding.
Maybe, you know, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish all these politicians would get a better understanding of the fentanyl epidemic. You know, if they did, maybe some things would definitely change.
Yeah.
Just like the assemblyman from Santa Monica that one year when we were up there that said, I really just can't believe that every drug dealer is lacing every pill with fentanyl. It's like, dude, what are you living on the moon with Biden? I mean, you know, what, what are you thinking here?
That's like In-N-Out saying, I can't believe that they would want to put their secret sauce on every burger. It's like, it's one of the big appeals and selling points here, pal.
Right.
Like how do you not understand?
How do you not understand this?
But I guess they don't.
No, but also, how do you know they're getting reports, you know they're getting statistics, you know they're getting all this stuff, and people aren't making up the fact that 110,000 people died last year from a fentanyl overdose or from an opioid overdose. I mean, those aren't fake numbers. Mm-hmm. By the way, those numbers are probably even higher.
Yeah.
Because we always don't get the actual numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not always reported. Not everybody has an autopsy, blah, 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 on and on and on. Not every minor's autopsy is released.
Right.
So how do we know what the true numbers are? But anyway, it's, I guess it depends on how much these politicians want to be involved. How much feedback or how much grief they're getting from their constituents. You know, that's the other thing. If a politician, you know, whatever area they're representing, if their constituents aren't pushing an issue, I would imagine that more likely that politician's going to leave that issue on the lower shelf somewhere.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
If there's a county somewhere where fentanyl is not having an effect and nobody's saying anything about it, what does the politician care then?
Yeah.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
No, incredibly valid point, because I don't see any data concerning Merced County until I reached out to a good friend of mine that works with the sheriff's department. Because I just reached out, like, let them know about pain, what we do. I said, we've supplied some outlying areas. I'm assuming you guys have Narcan. He goes, oh yeah, we have it. And it's unfortunate. We've had to use it so many times.
Wow.
And he put an abundance of O's to illustrate exactly how many. And it's ridiculous, you know, and this is a small area and people are not understanding. Like I've told you, I went to one of my recovery meetings, a young man, he was missing for quite a while, came back 9 days. We all welcomed him back, applauded that he was back. And then he shares with us, yeah, I overdosed twice in one day on fentanyl. And luckily the Narcan that we get, who's picking you up? Mom, here's two boxes.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But again, like you said, this is a good thing. It's a good step. It's a good step. But now we need to. This is when advocates like us need to be even louder.
Yes.
We need to be much more vocal. We need to get our point across. Just because somebody has done a little small thing, let's give credit where credit's due. I have no problem with that. But let's not leave this thing dangling like a fish hook without any bait on it. You know, I mean, we've got to keep going, and these people have to keep going too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Anderson?
I don't think so. You know, it's like I said, it's been an interesting day to say the least. Every day is interesting around the pain office.
Yes, sir. And yeah. And if you're listening, you have a organization or individual that you would like Narcan or Flint to come speak, please click the link in the podcast description, flintanderson.com or painnonprofit.org, and reach out to us. If you have any questions, reach out. You want to get involved, reach out. You have an organization that you want to contribute, whatever it is, please reach out to us. You know, we are here for that, and we do respond very quickly, which is, I've had some people like, oh my goodness, you responded right away. Yeah, that's what we do, because we don't know if this is a life or death situation.
That's right. That's right. And I do want to give a shout out. I really do to the Valley Charter School System, you know, that I spoke to a couple of days ago. Wow. There was, like I said, 250 people there. These are teachers that that go out into the homes and do teach. Now, all these teachers are going to be carrying Narcan with them. Number one, it was a fantastic audience. I've gotten lots of emails so far from people just thanking us for, you know, for coming and talking about this. And it made a great impact on them. And we've got some really good support with our teachers lately. And we just got to keep going in that direction too. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, thank you for listening. If it's your first time, hit that subscribe button, whatever platform you're on, or YouTube. Please subscribe to the channel and leave a thumb up and a comment. Or if you have questions or something you'd like Flint and I discuss, or even recommend a guest, we will definitely take it into consideration. We thank you for listening to Don't Hide the Scars.
If you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, please call PAIN, Parents and Addicts in Need, at 559-579-1551 or visit us online at painnonprofit.org. Follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Pain Nonprofit. And please subscribe to the Don't Hide the Scars podcast and share with others wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. And if you would like to donate to Pain, Parents and Addicts in Need, please click the link in the description to make your tax-deductible donation today and help us save more lives gripped by addiction.